Well, welcome to the Porter Pickups Tonecast number 11. We're so excited that you're here listening with us today. Today, we're going to have a chat with Dan Burgess from This One's Mine Effects. We're really excited about that conversation. My name is Derek, and as always, I'm here with Brian. Brian, how you doing?
I'm all right this morning. A little tough getting out of the house this morning with all the kids, but hey, we're here, and we are excited for show number 11. And you know, I have to deal with you every week on these shows, so it's kind of not a big deal really, but we've had some good conversations, I think, in our weekly shows. It's kind of crazy for me because every show sneaks up on us. You know, every week we're like, oh, we got another one coming. So, but we've got some great things coming up this year. You know, throughout the course of this last year, we've really been preparing for some exciting things for 2017. We got some more help in the shop and some more exciting new launches coming up. Just some things we've really been spending a lot of time on that we're excited to share with people that are coming up. And we just wanted to mention too, like Derek and I are making a lot more YouTube videos. We're making a lot more just quick Instagram type videos. And so make sure you're following us on Instagram at Porter Pickups and YouTube / Porter Pickups as well, because we'll be putting more product demos and things like that on those different channels. And you'll see those more frequently than we have normally been posting. So that's kind of one of the things that I'm excited about.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Well, this week we had a great conversation with Dan Burgess of This One's Mine, like I said. So let's go ahead and cut over to that interview.
Well, welcome, Dan. We're glad to have you on the Tonecast. Thanks so much for joining us today for the show. Curious, kind of as we get started here, if you could kind of tell us how you got started in the pedal world.
Yeah, well, I've been playing guitar forever, like most of us, and I started my professional career in church ministry and was getting paid peanuts. So buying new gear was hard, and I would start buying broken gear on eBay and fixing it. And then kind of word spread locally with my friends and stuff, and they started bringing me stuff to fix and asking me to build stuff, and I did. And then, so it kind of went from like a $20 a week job to people handing out my email across the country, and now it's global. So it was kind of a 3-year slow build and then just kind of explosion, just from repairing units to, you know, having a whole bunch of stuff of my own. So
sure. Did you get what year was that kind of when you first started messing with guitar stuff?
It was 2000. Oh, like repairs?
Yeah.
That was probably 2004, 2005.
Okay.
And then, I mean, technically the company started in like 2006, 7.
Nice.
That's awesome. So, Dan, what are you kind of most excited about as far as the kind of products and lines you offer and stuff? What are some of the things that have gotten you really excited?
You know, the products themselves are, they're mostly just utility devices. So it's hard to get excited about an aux switch or a mini buffer. The one that's mine, I guess, in the unique department is the Pearl. And I've always been excited about the Pearl, and I use it every time I play live. And so I guess that would probably be the one that I'm the most excited about, even though it's, you know, 9-10 years old now. It's still the one that I think more people need to give a chance to, because I feel like that's, I don't know, I feel like it's one of the most dynamic drives that are out there right now, in terms of the ground it can cover and the flexibility it provides. So I would probably say that's the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I've actually got several friends here that have them on their boards and have used them for quite a while now, and they all absolutely love them. I've played it a few times, and it's a great drive pedal. It's awesome.
Yeah, it can get a little hairy, and some people get afraid of that, especially because most of my clientele is church world type musicians, and gain isn't something that they particularly love. But I don't know. I feel like if you can't play with gain, you shouldn't be playing guitar. You should be playing like piano or something, you know?
But, I think it's the right gain, you know? You got to get the right kind of drives going, and then it doesn't sound. I think people are just so used to, oh, all gain is bad. And it's like, no, it's just kind of a lot of the gain that's out there is a little less usable.
Yeah, yeah, that too. And you know, the effects you combine with it as well. You know, when I'm playing live, I don't use a crazy amount of delay and reverb, but I use it probably differently than most. So when I'm stacking the pearl, the gain translates as sustain, you know, I don't know, it's beautiful. I mean, the tones I get, people can't believe it. They're like, wait, that's the pearl? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's the pearl, like stacked up in its full glory. And people are like, how are you using that in church? I'm like, dude, I use it all the time. I mean, all the time. So, yeah, and sometimes, you know, people, they sit in their bedrooms and they tweak a Blues Junior and they think that's a tone that gets translated to front of house, and that's not at all. And in a band mix and in a live recording, with, again, amp compression, board compression, mic compression, all kinds of other stuff going on to it. It sounds a lot different in a room than it does when you're sitting with your ear right in front of the speaker. And getting people to understand that is kind of hard, you know. But
absolutely.
Yeah, so you feel like, in with that pedal, do you feel like it's kind of like, you almost need like a second manual or like try this instead of that. Cause I know exactly what you're saying about like when you're stacking stuff and you get like kind of just a sweet saturated sound. And even if you're playing single notes, it kind of fills up the band a little bit. And sometimes, you know, people see a drive as just like a, you know, I'm going to step on it and then that's going to be the only sound I can get out of it. Whereas a lot of even, you know, couple button drives are, you know, more versatile than we give them credit for.
Yeah, I think a lot more people need, and I hate to even ascribe to this camp, seeing as I'm kind of in an industry that promotes, you know, excess. I think people need to spend more time with what they have and learn how, you know, their guitar works, learn how their tone knob works, twiddle with their pedals and use their ears and use their brains to identify, hey, what don't I like about my tone? How can I change it? And then go about doing that instead of just chasing another pedal and just buying another overdrive or, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know. Some of the best tone I've ever had was a full drive two through DD5. And it's like, sure, man, that's $150 in the used market. I did some recordings with that when I was interviewing. And I got tons of job offers, like, and that was my recording, you know. And it was like, I didn't have my Strymon and my,
yeah, you know,
$2,000 pedal board. I just had two pedals on stage with a one spot. But if you know how to use them and you know how to tweak stuff, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really do think that people just need to spend more time with what they have.
Well, I think
before they give up on it.
I think we definitely are proponents of the same idea. Obviously, coming from the pickup world, it's like, you know, how many different tones can you get if you know how to use a Strat in all five positions with the tone knobs? You know, it's
exactly.
Like you probably don't even, you know, we go direct to amps all the time and just use a little reverb or something. And it's like you can clean up a dirty signal, you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
If you try.
Yeah. And I mean, how many times, like, yeah, we all have these stories of like, how many times have you sold something and you wish you would have had more time with it or taken more time with it? And, you know, you almost want some of that stuff that you sold, except for like the crazy stuff, modeling effects that you used to buy when you were a kid. But like, I think of like an old Blues Deluxe Fender that I had, and I was just like, man, I wish I had that amp again. You know, it's just like, there was always something like that. So kind of along those lines, Dan, I was curious kind of how you got inspired to play guitar, how you got started, kind of just guitar-wise, how did you get started?
Well, my whole family is musical. My uncles are like music teachers. One wrote a song for Beyonce. They're all very musical. And growing up, again, we're Italian, to a T. And every week, multiple times a week, would be entire family gatherings where there'd be 20 people, you know, sitting around. And they didn't pull the guitar out every time, but there was always somebody on a piano or somebody playing guitar or, you know, shredding old Eagle songs or whatever. And, you know, growing up in that atmosphere, I guess it kind of naturally led itself to, hey, you're going to play something at some point. And I guess vocally, I was never really all that gifted. I mean, I could sing decent, but not, you know, I don't have a pretty voice. And so I guess that kind of, rather than pushing that and trying to be like a lead singer, dude, I just gravitated towards guitar. And I started, you know, I started out just playing like my grandpa's old classical. And pretty soon was, you know, playing live performance type stuff where I needed a pickup. So got into an acoustic electric with a pickup. And again, that, you know, interest wise for a teenager, that doesn't hold it very much. And you end up with an electric guitar and a bunch of, like you said, crappy multi effects, whatever. And, you know, PV Rage and all that stuff. And it kind of took off, you know, from there. On all different levels, you know, musicality and appreciation of gear and all that. So I guess I just grew up in a musical family, and I don't know if there was much inspiration more than expectation, I guess.
It's fun. So we know you love the Pearl, obviously, but maybe some, what's kind of your other favorite pieces of gear that you've got going on right now?
Like build wise?
No, just like gear you own. Oh, amps, personal guitars, whatever, whatever's just like, oh, this is amazing.
Man, I've owned a lot of gear. Like there was a period where, this one's mine wasn't quite, paying the bills, you know, and I was just starting off, and probably 50% of my income was profit from flipping gear. Nice. And I would flip, you know, 10 guitars a month, couple amps a month. And I've played through almost everything, over the past 15 years. And I would say amp wise, my heart right now is I've got this 65 amps Producer 6L, which I don't think they made very many of because it took me a few years to track one down. They made a lot of the EL version, which is, you know, the different power tubes, obviously. But the 6L version, I've always been a big amp, a big glass Fender guy. So Bassman, like you mentioned, the Blues Deluxe earlier, I still have one of those. I love that big glass body. I just love it. So when I was looking at the 65 amps, I finally found one for a decent deal and I jumped on it, and, man, I haven't had amp gas in 2 years since I got it. I mean, this is one of the best amps I've ever touched. I love it to death. So amp wise would definitely be that. That's kind of my honeymoon. Well, I thought it would only be a honeymoon, but it's been a couple years long now. And I mean, I've sold off Blackface Basement Heads and like these kind of iconic pieces of gear because this amp does everything and I don't really need anything else from an amp. I also have my Matchless amps, which for that Voxy type flavor, you know, they nail that. But I love this producer. It's awesome. Guitar-wise, I love my Elliott Tone Master. I do. I've had that probably 3-4 years now. It's never going anywhere. I love my 335. I kind of get sentimental on gear. So like, it's hard for me to sell stuff now where 10 years ago, I would buy things just to make a couple $100 on them. Now it's like, I mean, if I see something online and I'm making a trade offer, I'm like, man, I don't want to trade you anything. Like, you know, I love my stuff and they, you know, you start forming memories with these pieces of gear and it's almost like, you know, you get attached to it. So I think I'm pretty attached to everything I have right now. But Yeah, I love my 65 amps, and I love my my Elliott Tone Master. They're both pretty killer.
Nice. It's funny in this industry of like mass trading, like you said, and just like wanting to find the bigger and better, whatever it is. It's kind of refreshing when you find that one or two things that you're just like, I'm pretty good with this, and there's like a little bit of a relief when you're like, I haven't looked at amps on Reverb in 2 months or whatever, you know, like you kind of, you're like, things are calming down a little bit gas wise. And, you know, it's actually kind of a freeing feeling. I don't know if it's that way for you.
Oh, I love it. I mean, there was a period where, I mean, I would spend God, I don't know how many hours a day looking at like the gear page, you know, classified section, or, I mean, even before Reverb, you know, browsing eBay and yeah, I have all that time. I'm back because I don't care. I mean, it's like I've played everything and I can appreciate everything. Like, I mean, I would own, like, I love Dr. Z amps. They're great amps. I would love to own another Root 66 I had. But again, I'm not like, I don't know. I think the more you play stuff, and again, like I said before, the more time you spend with what you have, you kind of learn how to dial in the tones, and I don't know. I mean, there's the label of gear. So having like, you know, that cool amp or, you know, whatever's trendy at the time, whether it be the Tyler amps or whatever's cool right now, I'm kind of losing track of trends. But then I look at what I have and I'm like, man, I can kill that tone. I mean, like I have it here. I don't need anything else. And I don't know. Yeah. Being satisfied and not, there's something to be said, even on a spiritual level there, where you don't have to search for what's going to be the next best or what's going to make you feel like a better player when you realize that you really can do it with what you have. And then you can spend your energy in much more valuable places than the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I wonder too, like, you know, being that, you know, we're both kind of gear company people and we're in this industry where, you know, now it seems like there's more gear companies than ever and there's more choices than, you know, there's more choices than ever. And it's like, how do you, you know, I can't imagine starting right now knowing what I know about like all the different options for guitars and amps. And it would almost be overwhelming, you know, it'd be like, where do I even start?
Yeah.
And you have the recommendations maybe from your trusted friends, which probably will help you, but I can't imagine that because, I mean, there's a new amp company or pedal company or whatever, like every single day. And some of the stuff looks pretty awesome, but then you wonder, you're right, is it going to be better than, you know, what I had before?
Yeah. And that's I hate even being that speaker of truth, you know, but like, when people come to me for advice business-wise, I'm like, man, are you doing something that isn't being done? Because the competition, I mean, there's so many amp companies, so many guitar companies, so many effects companies, you know? I mean, even with you guys with pickups, I mean, there are several pickup companies where 10 years ago, it was basically Lawler. You know, it was like, right, what are you gonna do if you want to upgrade your stuff? It's like, you're either buying one of the 10 million Seymour Duncan pickups or you're upgrading to, you know, the Fralin Lawler world and that's what you're stuck with. Now, I mean, there are a million companies building a million different effects and a million different amps and, I mean, yeah, it's hard. And especially with some of these young guys, cause you know, they buy hype and they buy, you know, the trends and what's on Instagram and what's being talked about the most. And it's like, man, and then they get burned by it, you know, and they're like, man, the build quality is not there or the, whatever. And it's like, well, there's a reason why Full Tone has been the boutique company for 30 years. You know, it's like,
yeah,
they nail it and they've got all the kinks worked out. And there's a reason why Matchless amps are still in demand, you know, 25 years later, because they've got a reputation and you can't just jump on the newest thing and expect it to beat Fender. You know, I mean, you can't, you're not going to beat a Fender guitar. It's just one of those, yeah, you can relic it. And yeah, you can, I mean, if you're comparing it to a Squire, a cheap Mexican build, yeah. But like holding a custom shop Fender in your hand or a vintage Fender in your hand and comparing it to some parts caster, it's like the only people who are promoting the parts caster are the people who are building it. You know, it's not, it's hard. It's really, it's a hard industry to, I'm glad I'm not jumping into it now.
Sure. One of the things I was curious about, I think we've even had conversations about this, and I know I have with other gear companies, and kind of looking through your site, you have a pretty big list of artists or players that are using your stuff. And kind of curious your thoughts on the artist endorsement thing and kind of the pros and cons and benefits to like a smaller gear company or to a mid-sized gear company, like, you know, as far as, you know, how the artists work and how they help your company. I'm kind of curious your thoughts on that.
I'm probably the worst person to ask that to because I don't care. I literally, people ask me for artist deal. I don't give them out. I've tried from day one, my goal was to give everyone the artist discount and to offer low enough prices that there isn't really much leeway. And it kind of bites me in the butt in terms of like dealers and stuff. Cause there is, I don't make a ton of money on every unit. So I can't hold, I can't really support dealers because their cut means I don't make any money at all. And with artists, it's, you know, people are going to talk about what they're excited about. And if you're forcing somebody to talk about something, then it just comes off used car salesman type, you know? And it's like, man, the people I want promoting my stuff, I want everyone promoting it, first of all. I mean, I think that's all of our goal. But I don't want, you know, that false advertisement. I don't want to pay somebody to talk about my stuff. Even like some of these magazines that hit me up, they're like, hey, we'll run an article on you if you buy this advertising space or this. And I'm like, nah, dude, like I, let me get word of mouth. Like if somebody's excited about what I'm building and people are excited about what I'm doing, then they're going to talk about it, you know? And if they're not talking about it and what I'm doing isn't relevant anymore, then it's time for me to move on, you know? And, or just accept that I'm not going to be paying the bills with pedals anymore, you know? So I approach artists a lot differently, you know, and usually it's anyone who uses This One's Mine and is excited about This One's Mine and asks to be on the artist page, I'll put them on there. And you know, there are some big names and I, a lot of those big name guys have been friends since before they were big name guys. So some of them, it's just a matter of, hey, you're my buddy. I've helped you with your board, you know, but everyone on the list has asked to be on the list. It's not the other way around. I've never once requested somebody to be an artist or approach somebody with like a, hey, here's a crazy deal on a bunch of stuff. Would you be, you know, a T1M endorsee or whatever? So I'm kind of backwards, you know, I don't know. Fame is weird, and I get that some people have more influence on social media or whatever, but I've never once been to a show or talked to somebody in a band where what they've said has wanted me to buy their gear, like ever. With the exception of maybe I saw a rig run through of James Valentine from Maroon 5, and I wanted a mattress independence pretty bad after that, but
that's fair. I mean, that's fair.
That may be the only time. And because the way he had it set up was his rig was just so, it was just Guitar Center, man. It was like DL4 OCD. I mean, it was just very, these are my, you know, meat and bones pedals that I use on tour. And I loved it. I loved his approach. And that's what sold me, was more his attitude about it than the actual gear he had. Whereas most of these guys, if I go to a bar and see a band play, even if they are endorsed, you know, they're promoting their band. They're not looking to promote what guitar picks they're using. I just don't see a return on that. I don't see it as, I mean, again, unless it's like the Edge or somebody huge who has a foot in a world I've never really gone after market wise. I don't really see the point of it. I think I'd rather keep my prices low for everyone and help as many people as possible, because the more numbers you have talking, it's more valid than having just, you know, high name people, I guess.
Yeah, and I wonder too.
I might be completely wrong. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but again, I'm just word of mouth. I'm global. I ship all over the world every week, and it's like, I mean, people could spend money in advertising, spend money going to NAMM, all these like guitar shows and all this other stuff, and I'm like, I've never done any of that, and not that I'm successful and that I'm a millionaire, because I'm not, but I think I've enjoyed as much success as I can in this industry as it is, doing what I'm doing. And there are next level stuff. Like, I mean, JHS he's a business genius, and I love what he's doing. But again, he spends a lot of money on advertising, and he spends a lot of money on new product development. And in terms of reach, I mean, I'm pretty much right there neck and neck with him, and I haven't spent any of that money. So I don't know. He's definitely more popular, and he's probably more wealthy, but I'm okay just being me. I mean, I don't really care about that. So
there you go. That's awesome. Well, we've touched on it quite a bit, but kind of looking at the current state of the gear industry, you know, do you feel like things are going good, or things have been changing rapidly, or is there anything that you kind of wish was a little different in our gear world?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Yeah,
it is.
This is where Porter Pickups Podcast gets really,
really deep,
edgy.
I
think there's a lot changing. Again, my focus, probably 80-90% of my clients are praise and worship guys, and the trends within the praise and worship scene in terms of the music being produced and what people are playing, that music has shifted more in the synth keys kind of realm for several years, and then I feel like it's going back towards more an acoustic feel, which for me, you know, again, it limits, you know, my sales, I guess, because I don't really touch the keyboard world at all. I don't have any acoustic specific pedals. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different shifts and trends within the worship community that do affect the gear industry. In terms of new companies and all that other stuff, man, I think people need to count their bricks before they start building. I see way too many people. They have, you know, a soldering iron and have built a tap tempo and they start a company, and it's like, man, like, remember the IRS, you know, remember. I mean, these things they're very real, you know. I mean, I had a kid who was building. He was getting fairly popular, and then he got his dad asked him, "Hey, are you filing your taxes?" And, you know, after building for a couple of years, he wasn't, and he got a $20,000 bill and was like, "I'm 20 years old. I can't pay this." And it's like, exactly, like, you know, be careful, like, be wise. If you're building for hobby and you're having fun doing it, by all means, like, yes, do it. But again, like you said, I mean, you've had success in the pickup world, and this is your first full-time employee. You know, it's like, yep. It's not this glamorous, hey, we're going to make a ton of money real quick. And I mean, then you just, that's the TMG model right there, you know, where it's like, there is this allure, and man, people will will pay me for this, and it's cool and it's fun. And then it's like, I've got two young kids, one's still on diapers. That's expensive. Like, is this sustainable to provide for my family? And I think a lot of these people, they just jump the gun and they don't think when they're doing it. And then they just, for the moment, I mean, I've seen people advertise companies that don't exist yet, and they're taking pre-orders for pedals that are, or whatever, guitars. I mean, you could fill in whatever into that blank. You know, they're taking pre-orders for a product that doesn't exist, and people are paying it, and people are throwing money at them with these Kickstarters or whatever. And it's like, be smart. Like, what happened to logic? Like, what happened to, you know, I mean, and again, I'm not diminishing passion, because I believe that can drive a business and that can drive an idea to realms where yeah, there is success, but the gear industry is a lot smaller than people realize. And I mean, it's hard, you know, it's really hard to build a name. And I mean, gosh, I mean, I can't even read forums anymore, because there's some people that they just spew poison, you know, and based off a mistake that I may have made in 2008, 2009, and it still lives because the internet, you know. And it's like, people regurgitate that stuff every time somebody has a communication issue. And it's like, man, I've had 100,000 positive customer reviews and I have 10 negative, and the 10 negative far outweigh the thousands of popular. And it's like, as a new company coming into the industry, can you recognize that cutthroat side of it? Or do you just see, hey, the Facebook fun side or whatever? Like, there's a very real, well, it maybe it's not. I mean, again, if it's just hobby and you're living in your mom's basement, by all means, it doesn't matter if you succeed or not, you know. But when you do have kids, get married, buy a house, all of a sudden there's a little bit more weight to what we do. And you got to be smart. You got to use logic. You got to think through what you're doing, how it's going to impact your life, how it's going to impact the choices you make, and there's a lot tied up in that. So I do think there are far too many companies, because I think everyone just starts a company without even, it's too easy with the internet and all that other stuff. You can file an LLC in an hour and have an official company. And I've seen the turnover of those companies, and it's depressing. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people have, and even just in the boutique pedal industry, there were like 20, 30 companies last year that just shut their doors. And some of them were good companies. And there's just far too much competition. You know, you can't push an overdrive in a world of 50 new overdrives every year. There's just too much. It's oversaturated. And like, even with my Pearl, I mean, I love my Pearl. I think it crushes most pedals, but I'm not making a fortune on them. I'm not making a ton of them. You know, I've built six, I'm about to pass 600 right now. Which 600 of a unit in 10 years is not a lot. I mean, that's not a lot. You know, even if you look at the profit range, it's like, okay, well, I've made, you know, what, maybe 10, I don't even know the numbers right now off the top of my head, but even if I made 10 grand on the Pearl, it's like 10 grand spread over 10 years isn't even food money.
Yeah.
You know, that's nothing. Yeah. It's like, but again, the bread and butter of this one's mine is all the aux switches. So the things I'm most excited about may not be the things that pay the mortgage.
Yeah, it's interesting kind of, you know, there's a lot of similarities in that, you know, you're running this gear company, you've been doing it a while, and then you have a family, and then you got to buy a house. You got to, you know, convince the Uncle Sam that you make enough money to buy a house. But in order to do that, you have to, all these things have to get into place. And you're like, you know, people ask me, like, man, that's so cool. You get to do what you love. And I'm like, I'm so thankful and just like grateful that I can do this for a living. But, you know, we've got five kids and a house, and I've got five employees. And, you know, you start to look at that and you're like, okay, I try not to think of what that means in terms of how many pickups we have to sell every single month to pay for all these guys and to you know, pay for my family and the diapers and the kids, you know, that really don't eat much right now, but pretty soon they're going to be eating like insane amounts of food. And, you know, it's just like you think about that and you think, man, how do I continue to do this? How do I continue to adapt? But you're right when you mentioned kind of just refining what you do and focusing on the things that can sustain you as a business. And, you know, for me, I think looking at companies that are further down the road than you that have been around, you mentioned like Full Tone or Matchless, and like, what are the things that those companies do well that you can take from? You know, I respect a lot of these, you know, mid to big size gear companies that have been around for 30 years and they're still relevant. And some of them, like, you mentioned, they don't even market because they just have a consistent product and the following comes from that.
Is there anything new release-wise that This One's Mine's got in the works or anything that you can hype up for us?
Man, not really at the moment. I've kind of, again, it's just me here, so pretty much just try to get orders done. I don't really have a lot of time to do, you know, product development. I've had a lot of requests for pro-built pearls, which are basically they're pearl units, but they're built with, like, they're overbuilt with amp parts, basically. So,
okay.
They're not, I mean, there's honestly, audibly, there's not too much of a difference. But a lot of people have requested them, and I stopped building them because it just took too long to build. But I feel like, you know, the past year and a half or so have been a lot less busy than they were, than I was 4 or 5 years ago. So I feel like I might have time to do a few of those. So I might do a limited run of pro build pearls. I built one of my buddies, Jeff, he helps me admin the Gear Talk worship page. He asked me if I would build him. Well, he didn't ask me. I kind of offered, but he named it. He wanted me to build him a Ragnar pearl, which was the PTDV, the pearl, both punch and touch, and then a solo boost all-in-one enclosure. And I just sent that off to him earlier this week, which it should have been built a while ago. But again, it was kind of a Christmas present for him. And that's kind of generated a little bit of interest, just having all those options on board. So I might add that to the website. I wouldn't mind maybe pushing the PTDV a little bit. It's kind of it was a response to people who didn't like the gain of the pearl, people who wanted more articulation. And the thing with the pearl is there's a touch side and a punch side. And the touch is like everyone's favorite. They love the touch drive. And then the punch drive is kind of a tube screamer on steroids, and that it has the compression, it has the gain, and it kind of has that in your face, like the saturation, as you called it. Like it can get that real thick wall of sound. And a lot of people don't particularly like that. And I get that for the worship crowd. So I developed the PTDV, which is just a prototype drive, whatever, proto drive. But then I found out there was a Canadian company that built a proto drive, so I couldn't call it that. But the PTDV is, the intent was to kind of build it like a Blues Breaker, but not on that circuit. So I melded a few different ideas together in one, where it's actually at its heart, it's got the IC chip and stuff, similar to a rat, but without the gain and without the, I don't know. It sits between the punch and the touch really well. So having that in the PTDV, gives a little bit more tonal options, for people to choose from, and combining that with, the pearl in the Ragnar, I don't know. Maybe I could sell a few of those too. So, you know, we'll see. People always have been asking me, you know, are you going to build a delay pedal? No, I'm not. Strymon does a good job. You know, Eventide does a good job. Diamond does a great job. Are you going to build a reverb? No, I'm not going to build a reverb. Empress, all those companies, they kill that. And I don't have the finances to drop something that I would think would be unique enough to sell. I'm not just going to release a product to release a product. You know, I've had other pedal companies be like, yeah, you got to release a product every 2 months to stay relevant, this and that. And I'm like, but I'm not going to sell something I don't believe in. And I'm not going to release a product just to release a product. I won't name any names, but there have been a lot of companies just churning out different ideas and releasing these pedals just because they feel like they have to release pedals, and they're just not good. I mean, they're not good units. And for me, I'm not going to build a delay just to build a delay so I can sell it. You know, people would probably buy it, but if it's not the best, I don't care. You know, I really do believe that the Pearl is good. I feel like it, I don't know about the best, but I think it's one of the best, and that's why I push it. That's why I use it. And that's why I believe in it. You know, I'm not going to build just some junky fuzz pedal just to build the junky fuzz pedal. Though I have, for friends or whatever, but I don't know. It's hard. I don't know if I have enough time to really, you know, stick my head in and come up with something brand new. I think I'll just kind of keep going what I'm doing and, you know, modding units and helping other people have success. I've got no problem with that. I love what Strymon's doing. I love Eventide units, you know, so I'd almost rather just keep the friendship going, you know, and not step on any toes, if I can, you know, and right now it's working pretty good. So, I don't know if I even answered your question.
No, that's good.
I don't think I have anything down the pipe.
Yeah, I think
that's the reason why, you know.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, curious, like Dan, as we kind of wrap up here, if you could kind of share your social media website information so people who want to get there could find you.
Yeah, it's well, it's all phonetical, which is my fault because this one's mine. I needed an email that wasn't a school account when I opened my eBay account back in like 1999 or something like that. And this one's mine at hotmail.com was my email. And then that was the email people handed out when I started the company because I didn't want them to use my church email because whatever, you know, conflict of interest or whatever. So the website is thisonesmine.com. It's THIS, the number one, SMYNE.com. And that tag is everything. So Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff, Twitter, it's all This One's Mine. I'm not very active on Twitter. I kind of have it linked to Instagram. The best way to contact me is always through email. But I am pretty active on Instagram. I'm actually not all that active on Facebook, on the T1M page. I'm active on my personal page, which again, if people want to hit me up there, it's just Dan Burgess. I'm in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. So you can always friend me there, hit me a message there. And I answer Facebook messages all day, every day. So I'm pretty active on there. Or emails, but sometimes emails get filtered and then people get annoyed. So, but yeah, this one's mine at hotmail.com is the email. And the social media would just be This One's Mine on Instagram.
So. Well, I will say to everyone, he's worth a follow on Instagram because I've been following you for a while and it's awesome. It's like half some T1M stuff that always looks cool and then half like really amazing looking guitars. So,
Well, sometimes and people think I own all those guitars. That's not necessarily true. I'll find stuff that I'm like, man, this thing is just ridiculous. And I'll share it. And people are like, what, you bought a, you know, $50,000 Les Paul? No, I didn't buy a Les Paul from 1960, you know, but but this guy showed the picture and it's freaking cool. So, But there's a lot of gear on there too that it's just random shots, you know. I mean, I feel like people put a lot of weight on, you know, you got to just push your company, push this now. I'm like, man, I put pictures of my kids on there. I put pictures of whatever. I mean, I just try to be transparent in everything I do. So I think that comes through a good bit on Instagram, which is good.
Awesome, man.
Very cool. Dan, thanks so much for being on the show today, and we appreciate having you and kind of sharing a little bit about your company.
Oh, dude, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate talking to you guys. It's one thing I never shy away from. I love this stuff, getting to share heart and actually talk to people, even if it's not face-to-face. It's more face-to-face on here than through an email. So
yes,
it's the next best thing. Awesome, man. Well, you have a great week.
You too, man. Hope you guys get some warmer weather in the future.
Thanks. Bye. Well, again, that was Dan Burgess from This One's Mine Effects. We were so excited to have him on the show. It was a really fun conversation. If y'all will be tuning in next week, it's going to be exciting. We have Matt Walker, the owner of Copeland Guitars, coming on. He's going to talk to us about, you know, his company, gear, guitars, all sorts of stuff. So we'll be excited to see you then. Until then, be sure to go check out the Tonecast page on our website for more information about things that we've been talking about, links to This One's Mine and all sorts of stuff, as well as just some extras there. And we'll be excited to talk to you next week.